gives this woman to this man? On behalf of Brianna and Josh and their families, welcome to all of you. It's great to be together for this joyful occasion of their wedding. We want to begin with singing. And you find the words for the hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." On the inside of your program, we will sing the three stanzas of that hymn together. Let us pray together. Great Lord God in heaven, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and of all who are in Him, we come before You in the afternoon of this beautiful day, this very special day, this wedding day of Brianna and Josh. And we thank You for this occasion. We thank You for them, for their lives, for all that You have made them to be, for their upbringing, for their gifts, for the way You have brought them also to each other, and who want to pledge their lives to each other before Your face. And we pray, Lord, that on this wedding day, on this day also when they commit to one another, that You will bless them richly, that You will enable them not only to say their vows, but to be faithful to their vows all the days of their life. We pray that they may receive much joy and blessing in being married. And we pray, too, that their marriage, Lord, You would make it to reflect something of the ultimate marriage that is between Christ and His church. We pray that You will equip them in every way and strengthen them. Be with us throughout this ceremony and service. We pray too when we open Your word and hear from Your word that You would be with us with Your Holy Spirit. And all through the day and all of the joy and rejoicing that You would keep us in Your tender care that in all things we may honor and praise you. We thank you for each one who has joined us this afternoon. And you know, Lord, all our needs and all our cares, and also how maybe weddings can be difficult for some. We commit each one to you and pray that you would be the refuge and the strength, the comfort and the help of all of us. We pray too for those who are listening in from afar over sermon audio, that you will unite them to us in the Holy Spirit as well. Hear our prayer, O Lord, and bless us now. We ask it not because we deserve it, but for Jesus' sake. Amen. We are gathered here as family and friends and members of various congregations to witness the confirmation of the marriage of Brianna Grace Loff and Joshua Michael Bernicle. It is good that marriage be confirmed in such a gathering and that God's blessing be asked to rest upon it. God the Lord reveals to us in His Word that He has created man and woman and destined them for each other, giving them the gift and calling of marriage and promising His blessing upon it. Scripture teaches us that God, our Father, who created heaven and earth and all that is therein, created man in His image. Male and female, He created them. He also said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper, comparable to him. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And God blessed them, and God said, "Be fruitful and multiply." This excellent gift of God has been blemished, however, by man's fall into sin. And yet God, who is great in mercy, has been pleased to restore the unity of marriage and to confirm His blessing. For that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ has honored marriage as an institution of His Heavenly Father by His presence and miracles at the marriage at Cana. He also condemned the breaking of the marriage bond when He said, "Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate." In the apostolic teaching of the New Testament, marriage is recognized as a gift of God, sanctified through the Word of God and through prayer. The Apostle calls the unity in marriage a great mystery, which he relates to the unity between Christ and the Church. For these reasons, the married state ought not to be lightly or thoughtlessly entered into, but with reverence and thankfulness and in the fear of the Lord. The bond of marriage for all of life may thus be a matter of joy, in which man and wife receive love and faithfulness from each other, assistance and dedication. Because of sin, married people also experience much trouble and affliction. Nevertheless, you may, as He has promised, be assured of the grace and help of the Lord, and that you in your marriage may live according to the commandments of God and trusting in His promises. You ought to know for what reasons God has instituted marriage. In the first place, marriage is instituted in order that man and wife, joined together in true love, may belong to each other in joy and may faithfully help each other in all things which belong to earthly and eternal life. In the second place, through marriage, the human race and also the Church of the Lord are built. If it pleases God to give you children, you are to raise and guide them all in the knowledge and fear of the Lord. Further, let every man live with his wife and every woman with her husband in accordance with the will of God and with a clear conscience, so that our bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit be not defiled. Next, you are to hear from the Word of God how you are to behave towards each other in the married state. The man, Josh, has been appointed by God to be the head of his wife, and he shall love his wife as Christ loves His Church. He will lead her and comfort her. He will serve her and protect her, even as Christ is the consolation and assistance to His Church. The wife, Brianna, shall be subject to her husband, even as the Church is subject to Christ. She shall love and serve her husband, follow him, care for the family with him, and display the adornment of a meek and quiet spirit. According to the commandment of God, you shall both do your work with faithfulness and dedication. You shall also understand that your family is part of a larger community, and that you have a calling with respect to church and society. Live in the fear of the Lord. Remember that you are heirs of the grace of life. Be forgiving and live together in wisdom, that your prayers be not hindered. So then, Josh and Brianna, having understood that God has instituted marriage and what He commands you therein, do you declare before God and His holy church that it is your sincere intention to live in this holy state after this manner? And do you desire that your marriage be now solemnized? What is your answer, Josh?
I
and Brianna. The Lord God confirm your intention, which He has given you, and may your beginning be in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. This time we'll have you say your vows to one another.
I, Joshua Michael Brunicle, do solemnly declare before God and this His holy church that I take to myself and acknowledge as my wife Brianna Grace Loff, here present. I promise that I will, with the gracious help of God, love, honor, and maintain you, and live with you in the holy bonds of marriage, according to God's ordinance. I promise to be your husband, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish. And I promise never to forsake you from this day forward and until death do us part.
I, Brianna Grace Loff, do solemnly declare before God and this His holy church that I take to myself and acknowledge as my husband, Joshua Michael Brunicle, here present. I promise that I will, with the gracious help of God, love, honor, and obey you in all things lawful, and live with you in the holy bonds of marriage, according to God's ordinance. I promise to be your wife, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish. I promise never to forsake you from this day forward till death do us part.
Emotions are good. Those are weighty words, because on the basis of them, in accordance with the ordinances of God, and by the civil authority vested upon me by the province of Ontario, I now pronounce you, Josh and Brianna, husband and wife. The Father of all mercies, who by His grace called you to this holy state of marriage, bind you in true love and faithfulness and grant you His blessing. It's at this time that you will exchange rings. Josh, do you give this ring to Brianna as a token of your constant faithfulness and abiding love?
Thank you.
Brianna, do you give this ring to Josh as a token of your constant faithfulness and abiding love?
I do.
Josh, you may kiss the bride. Hear now from the Gospel how firm the bond of marriage is, as described in Matthew 19, verse 3 to 9. The Pharisees came to Jesus, tempting Him, and saying to Him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" And He answered and said to them, "Have you not read that He who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." They said to Him, "Why did Moses then command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away?" He said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." Believe these words of Christ and be certain and assured that your Lord God has joined you together in this holy state. You are therefore to receive whatever befalls you therein with patience and thanksgiving as from the hand of God. And thus all things will turn to your advantage and salvation. Amen. considering, however, that we have no good of ourselves and that all good gifts come from above, from the Father of lights, you are asked at this time to kneel before the Lord so that the congregation may pray with you and for you. And so at this time, congregation, what we're going to do is sing from Psalm 134, only stanza 1. So you find that on your program again, Psalm 134, only stanza 1, during which time the couple will kneel. And after we sing stanza 1, we will pray together. And then I will ask you to rise to sing stanza 2. So at this time, Psalm 134, stanza 1. Merciful God and Father, who has brought this bride and bridegroom, Brianna and Josh, together and united them to the bond of marriage, we thank you for the blessing given to this couple that they may go through life together under your care. Grant them this grace that through the love of Christ they may more and more grow towards each other, bound together in the unity of the true faith. Grant them the strength of your Holy Spirit, enabling them as husband and wife to live together in their family according to your holy will. Grant them your favor that should it please you to give them children, they may raise them in accord with the promises and demands of your covenant in the instruction, discipline, and love of Christ. Sanctify the tie that binds them to their blessing, to the edifying of your church, as a witness to others, and to the glory of your holy name. Hear us, Father of all mercy, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, our Lord, in whose name we conclude our prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Congregation, please rise for stanza 2. Hear yet the promise of God, Josh and Brianna, from Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. For you shall eat the labor of your hands. Happy shall you be, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine by the sides of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. The Lord our God fill you with his grace and grant you that you may live long together in all godliness and holiness. Amen. This time I want to call on your pastor, Brianna, Pastor Bauman from the Smithville Canadian Reformed Church, who will present to you your wedding Bible.
A wonderful day for the two of you. You may be united forward to that occasion. God has granted it is that far. You will yet be hearing, I am sure, God. But I do want to give to you first the Bible that traditionally belongs in every Christian home. You will not be surprised, Josh, Brianna, when I mention to you that marriage is not just the two of you, but the three of you. You married in the name of the Lord. And that's to say that if you can picture a triangle, the two of you are the two base points and God the apex. And what holds your life together isn't the glue, the strength, the horizontal between the two base points, but the two vertical, your respective relation with your God. He's made you His. He's determined a path for you from today to the New Jerusalem. But how to walk that path, how to handle the ups and downs of life, God Himself would show you, would hold your hand, and would have you hold His hand. To walk that road, you do need the Word of God. It's my pleasure, my privilege, on behalf of the Acclaim Reformed Church in Smithfield, to give to you, Brother and Sister Brunicole, a copy of the Word of God. May God bless you richly. May you walk with Him all the days of your life. Josh, congratulations.
Thank you, Pastor Bauman. At this time, we'll have the couple sign the wedding register and the bands. And we'll have some special music. So I invite the four of you for the signing over here. This time we'll proceed with the singing of Great is Thy Faithfulness. As you find in your program, we'll sing the three stanzas there, and let's rise to do that. Great is Thy Faithfulness, we'll sing it together standing. And remain standing afterwards for the votum and salutation as we begin to hear from God's Word. Draw near to the Lord to worship Him, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, and in Christ Jesus is an overflowing fountain of good. Amen. Congregation, receive the greeting of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. And I invite you to turn in God's Word to the book of Psalms. For this worship service where we hear from God in Psalm 146, Psalm 146. Psalm 146, the Word of God from verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. So far, the reading of God's holy word. And dear Josh and Rihanna, together with your families and friends and members of various congregations of our Lord Jesus Christ, what's all important in life, including now also married life, is that we know God, including who He is and what He is like, and that we live in relationship to Him, that we trust in Him. And that's where His Word is so precious and so helpful, because it clearly proclaims God to us and the way to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it calls us over and over again to look to Him and to Him alone. And this text, this psalm, and especially verse 5, your wedding text, is no exception. It's a wonderful text. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So in these few words, we learn something about who God is, how he's the Lord, all capital letters, in reference there to his covenant name, to his being the everlasting God, the Savior God. And further, he is described for us here as the God of Jacob, which can only mean, in view of who Jacob was, can only mean that God is a most gracious God. He was and He is. The other thing that's clear in this text is how strong and how mighty God is. Well, He must be so, since He is described as the help and the hope of those who look to Him. And especially those words stand out here in this text. God as our help and our hope. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. This afternoon, for a brief time, we want to meditate on that theme. God as our help and our hope. And we can say, first of all, how essential he is. How essential. One thing should be clear to you, to all of us, we sure need help. We sure stand in need of hope. I mean, being creatures and being sinners. I mentioned Jacob. The verse mentions Jacob. And if we just think of what we know about Jacob in the Old Testament, he was a needy man, wasn't he? He couldn't do a lot despite all of his efforts. He kept being frustrated in his life, in his purposes, in his aims, when he was looking to himself. And further, he was a bad man. He was a deceitful man. Who could trust Jacob? But isn't it true that Jacob's story is many a man's story, many a woman's story? I mean, who can claim to be so much better than Jacob? Think too how, in moral terms, when someday we must leave this life and stand before the God who has made us, who has given us life, and give account to him for how we have lived. Well, who is so confident that they can point to their life as sufficient to pass the scrutiny of an all-holy God? Our hearts are too deceitful, and in our life and in our behavior, we come so short of His glory. And the point is, we need help, and we need hope. Also, when you think about how no one else, how there is no one else in all the world who can help us, or in whom we can hope. The psalmist is very clear about that in verse 3 and 4 when he says, "Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help." There is no help in man, in any man. Why not? Well, take the wisest, strongest, richest person or people you may know. How many of them can't hardly keep their own lives together? And sooner or later, death levels them too. We're all weak. We're all frail and mortal. We're all sinful and defiled and guilty and have to give account of our own selves. We are not able to help others. Verse 4, His Spirit departs. He returns to the earth. In that very day, His plans perish. There is no help in man. There can be no hope on account of any man. And now just think about that, especially with your new stage of life, Josh and Brianna. You entered into this building single. You leave it married. But as every couple will testify, it's not always so easy to be married. To get married is one thing, but then to be married is something else. Because now as married, yes, you go through life together to help each other, but sometimes the helping doesn't always work so well. Sometimes there are tests along the way that severely strain your relationship. Sometimes there are misunderstandings that can get in between you. Sometimes you don't always feel so in love maybe, or our own natural stubbornness or our own tempers get the better of us. Really, with every human marriage, two sinners living so closely together permanently seems like a recipe for disaster. And the fact is, you cannot just make it relying on you, nor even on all these family and friends who have come to support you. It's great that they're here. They may encourage you. They may pray for you. They may stand by you. But if you are banking your success in marriage on the fact that you're strong or you have family and friends behind you, you can forget it right now. Because the psalm says, do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help. They're never enough. We need someone more, someone bigger, someone greater. We need God. And the thing is that growth in life and growth in grace and growth together can begin when you acknowledge that fact and you keep it before you every day. We need the Lord. Is it a point we confess to this afternoon? I know, Josh and Brianna, that you acknowledge this, you confess this, but it's good to be reminded, isn't it? And all of us to be challenged. How essential God is for us. But not only that, we can say, secondly, how excellent God is. I mean, as our help and our hope, how excellent He is. Well, why do we say that? For one thing, because of what we learn about God in this psalm, especially from verse 6 on to the end. When you look at verse 6 and following and consider all that is being said of God, what a majestic picture of Him. All of His attributes as they are listed one after another. All of His perfections and qualifications. So God is your help and your hope. How is He qualified for that? Well, let's start with the fact that He created heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Verse 6 says. That makes Him pretty great, doesn't it? Greater than all even. Who can say, I've made the cosmos. I've made everything in this whole universe. Just this point should make us say, wow. God must be something else. But then there's so much more to say. Still verse 6, He keeps truth forever. That simply means He's always faithful. He's always trustworthy, reliable, and true. He's unchanging. He's steady. His word is good. He is good. Verse 7, the Lord executes justice for the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. He gives freedom to the prisoners. You know, you work that through. He's a fair God. He's a generous God. He's a redeeming God. Verse 8, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. Again, what precious words are here. We may go to the Lord to see, to gain insight, to increase in understanding. We may trust the Lord when we are down that He will lift us up. When all is dark, that He will bring us into light. When we are oppressed by our own guilt, maybe, or weighed down by sorrows. When we are passing through hard times, we may hold fast to God who is like a rock to His people. Verse 9, the Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked He turns upside down. So on the one hand, there is His great favor, His matchless care, and at the same time His inflexible justice and righteousness, so that if you cross Him, if you defy Him, He won't let that go. The way of the wicked, He turns upside down. And then verse 10 says, He reigns forever. And He does so not simply as God, but the God of His people. Your God, the psalm says, your God, O Zion. So He's everlasting, and He may be ours by covenant and through living faith in Him, and He'll be that way generation after generation. In other words, the psalmist is saying, God is your help and your hope. Here's His resume. And do you not have to say, He's excellent? He's excellent. Do we believe that? You know, the psalm is telling us that. in all that it says about God, where can you find someone so qualified to meet all your needs as you have them, as you experience them, and to lead you in life, and to strengthen you, and to provide for you? We may hear the excellence of God in this psalm, but we may also see the excellence of God as our help and hope in a climactic, all-glorious way on a hill outside of Jerusalem, where a man hangs on a cross. At least, he hung on a cross. Jesus Christ. And we know the story. We know the history. God's Son incarnate, come to this world in God's name. And He, you know what He will do? He will help Jacob where he needs it most. In terms of his guilt. In terms of his defilement. What Jesus Christ will do when He comes to the cross is He will pay for the sin of Jacob. He will suffer as the just for the unjust. And He will, in that sacrifice, secure for Jacob, for all of His people, all who trust in Him, He will secure cleansing and righteousness. All of the attributes of this psalm that unpack how God is our help and our hope come to their full climax there at Calvary, where God gives His own Son in love for sinners. And where His own Son gives Himself even to the wrath and judgment of God. See how justice falls on the Son so that mercy may flow down to us. And think how for the Son of God that meant in those awful hours, no help and no hope. When He will cry there, as we remember from Scripture, "My God, why have You forsaken me?" It's a mystery we cannot fully understand, but it's revealed to us for our salvation. It's revealed to underscore to us that when we look to God to be our help and our hope, we may be sure that He is so in the best and fullest possible way because of the crucified and now also risen Redeemer Christ. All of which is to say, God as our help and our hope, He's not only essential, He is excellent. And when He's your help and your hope is in Him, you can't ever go wrong. No, because we can also say He's, as our help and our hope, so effective. Why do we say He's effective? Well, it's because of the first word in the text, the word happy. Happy is he, or happy are those who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God. They are happy. Why are they happy? Well, it is because God comes through. It is because God is faithful. It is because God is not like what we sometimes experience here in life with others, where we look to them for help, where they've even promised that we can trust in them, and then for whatever reason, they don't come through. And whenever we experience that, we're not happy. It's not a pleasant experience. How often that happens, though, in this dark and broken world. But it does not happen with the Lord God. It cannot happen with the Lord God. When you look to Him, when you seek Him, when you seek His help, He meets you through His Word and by His Spirit and for the sake of His Son. When you put your hope in Him, you cannot be put to shame. God always comes through. We sang it. Great is His faithfulness. And so the psalmist says, happy is he. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God. In fact, we can say even more. Because that word happy, it's a very special word. It doesn't just mean happy. It means so happy. Indescribably happy. Indestructibly happy. In other translations, it's blessed. But even that doesn't convey the fullness of this idea. It means so supremely blessed are those who trust in God to help them and to be their hope. So infinitely blessed. What is that blessing? Well, it is the blessing of right relationship with the living God. It is the blessing of knowing that He is your Father in heaven who will never forsake you. It is the blessing of being forgiven all of your sin and being clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is the blessing of being filled with the Holy Spirit who enters into you, who makes you His temple. and who commits to guiding you and sanctifying you and bringing you all through your life. It is in the awareness and experience of that blessing that we can marry and we can go through life as husband and wife and be sure that whatever we meet with, God will bring us through and even grow us and bless us in ways we could never imagine. And someday take us all the way into the eternal world, the eternal realm, where there will be no more suffering and no more pain and no more tears and no more sin. And for all who have this God then as their help and hope, well, it's no wonder that the psalm begins and ends with the words, "Praise the Lord." It's no wonder that the psalmist proclaims in verse 2, "While I live, I will praise the Lord, and I will sing praises to my God while I have my being." Why does he say that? Well, it is because he is experiencing the truth of what he is writing. It is because of the happiness, the blessedness of trusting in God having gripped his soul. He knows God is with him. He knows God will help him. He knows that when he hopes in God, God will be true. And that can't but make his heart to sing. And on the one hand, that singing, that's like a mark or an evidence that we know God. When we can sing, when we want to sing, when we pledge ourselves to sing like this psalmist. And at the same time, this psalm reminds us of the importance of doing that, doesn't it? Including also the two of you now, Josh and Brianna. You who say with your mouth and now together in your life, you're saying, we seek God as our help and our hope. We look to Him and to no other to lead us in our life. That's good. That's so good. We're so grateful. And we'd only encourage you. And we'd say, like this psalm, like this psalmist, make sure to reflect it in song, publicly in the house of God, like we may do together, but also privately as a couple and individually as well. And that's for all of us, isn't it? If we know something of the happiness and blessedness of God as our help and our hope, let us sing of that and let us sing to Him. The world has many songs. The world has its own way of singing, but the Christian singing is altogether different. The Christian songs are on an altogether different plane. They go up to heaven. They exalt the living God. They proclaim to all who will hear, here is help and here is hope like no other. Yes, and if we don't know anything about that, which is also possible among us this afternoon, then you need to understand God is here today speaking to you and saying, listen, you have no help apart from me. And you have no hope apart from me. But I'll be that for you. I surely will. Look to Him, therefore. Go to Him. What blessing you will find. And what a song He will teach you to sing. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord our God, God of Jacob, everlasting and faithful, covenant and saving God, we come before you to marvel at these great words that you have given to us. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. We thank you, Lord, for the confession also of Josh and Brianna, that this too is what they know and why they seek you and what they want to reflect in their life. How essential you are, how excellent you are, how effective you are. And we can look especially to the cross of Christ and to the empty tomb to be assured of it. For there in Him you have taken care of our ultimate need and purchased for all your people, all who trust you, an ultimate and eternal blessing. Lord, we pray that you would bless this word to this couple now married, that you would be with them as they go from here, that they would experience again and again the truth of you as their help and you as their hope. And that we would hear them singing and they would be with your people singing while they live, praises to you. Bless that, Lord, for us all. If we don't yet see, if we don't yet know, open our eyes and turn our hearts to you. All this we pray for Jesus' sake and for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let us sing from this psalm, the words that you find in our program, Psalter number 400. It's from Psalm 146. We'll sing the four stanzas that are listed there. And let's do that standing. After the benediction, we will sing the doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow. That will be followed by the presentation of the couple and then a reception line outside of the building. And after the reception line, there's an ice cream truck with treats for all, and you're welcome to enjoy that together. Receive now the blessing of the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So it's my privilege to present to you at this time Mr. and Mrs. Josh and Brianna Brunicle.